Eat a little bit each night, and just kind of keep in the front of our minds and as a focus throughout the week, just coming to God and really, I like to do it the first week of the year, just kind of, to me it kind of fits that whole first fruits concept, that we give God not from our excess, but from the first of everything. And so, we'll just be meeting here. We'll be praying together, maybe doing a little bit of worship. It'll be just a good time. Tonight we're going to be starting at 6. During the week it's going to be 7 o'clock. Only probably about an hour, hour and a half tops. Just depends on how long you pray with whatever group you break up with. And it's really not a super regimented or formal thing. So if you've got little kids or you have to get up early or whatever and you need to cut out a little early, don't feel bad. Just we'd love to have you come and just pray with us. And there's something really awesome about getting together as Christian brothers and sisters and praying together. It's a really powerful time, and I hope you guys will all, see what you can do to be available at least, for part of the week to come and join us. So, all right, yes.
I was just gonna say the last time we did this, we had called a lot of people and asked for if they had prayer requests, and it was just a really excellent way to open up Christ to people that you love and you know that you're trying to introduce them to, and to ask them if they have something that they need prayer for the year. And so, just encouraging you guys to all do that with friends and people that you know that don't know them yet.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we are now only about halfway done. So I know you guys are used to with me getting out about now, but there's actually another side to your little note sheet there. We talked about God's story. The reason I wanted to talk about God's story is because God's story is the context for our story. Have you ever had somebody take something you said out of context? And when that happened, did it kind of change the whole meaning by chance? I was actually just driving along and just kind of spending some time with God, thinking about different things and kind of talking with him, and he gave me this idea, and I think it was pretty relevant, so I thought I would share it with you guys. The reason that we have so many problems and that we're not living the life that we really should be living is because we're trying to live our life out of context. That's really what he told me. I have been kind of, I don't know, working with God on a couple things that he's been showing me lately. And one of them, if you look on the back there, or on what maybe is the front now if you turned yours over, John 15:11, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And this is something that's really been on my heart a lot lately, is I don't see a whole lot of people full of joy these days. I just don't. And to me, I think, okay, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? Because Jesus said, "I want your joy to be full." And if that's what our Creator, Maker, Redeemer, Savior has for us, then why are we missing it? And this year especially, you see, with the whole economy just continuing to, stay where it's at, and you run across people who are just struggling and they're just miserable and unhappy, and I understand that, but my problem is, how come I don't see a huge difference between the world and people who know Christ? Why is it that I see so many Christians who just aren't full of joy? And I mean, I had to get real and honest, and I had to say, "Hey, God, what's wrong with me? Sometimes I'm not feeling a whole lot of joy here. What am I missing? What's wrong?" And that's what he told me. He said, "You're trying to live life out of context." Another verse along the same lines that I've been working through with him is John 10:10. It says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Abundant life, right? And I think the problem is our idea of an abundant life is, money, you know, overflowing in the bank account, and every toy and pleasure and comfort you could ever want right there at your disposal, right? And we think, oh man, that's what the abundant life is, right? That's life abounding all around me, right? Well, there's the problem again. You see, he said, the problem is you're trying to live life out of context. And that's why I wanted to start with God's story. That's why this whole concept of what is God's whole story and how do I make that something that I can take with me, something manageable where I can, you know, function with it. I mean, like I said, it's so huge and so vast, you get so lost in it. So that's why I wanted to start with, okay, what is God's story? And then, now if that is truly the context that I'm supposed to live my life in, then how does each of those parts of his story relate to me? And then what's my part in the whole thing, right? And so that's why I wanted to look at things that way. You know, Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite verses, says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago." Before God ever even made you, he already knew the place that he had for you in his story. And he created you and made you in a way that you will be able to fulfill your part of the story. And he knows that by fulfilling and completing your part of the story, you are going to be full of joy and you are going to have an abundant life. Because what did Jesus say? He said, "I have come and I have told you this." You see, Jesus is the reason, because he's the one who invited us into his story, remember? It was at that point, when Jesus died and rose again, that we are now invited to become part of God's story and part of his redemption process. And so Jesus says, "I've come that you can have this abundant life," but the problem is we've lost our context. We're trying to live in the wrong story, in a sense. I mean, you could take a dynamic character. Let's take it from a movie, because I don't read a whole lot of books, especially not novels. But let's say you could take a Captain Jack Sparrow, right? You could pull him right out of Pirates of the Caribbean, and you could say, okay, now there's a character with all kinds of charisma, and he knows where he belongs, right? I mean, he fits the story, he makes the story, the story just kind of flows around him, right? But now you pull him out of his story, out of his context, and you plop him into anything else, let's say Saving Private Ryan. And he's not going to make any sense, is he? You're going to have one very frustrated, out of place, goofy looking pirate. I mean, seriously, he's not going to work in that context. And that's what happens when we try to live our lives in a context that is not in relation to God's story. When we try to create our own story and live in that, then we're good at it. I'm really good at it. I can create a million very insignificant stories that I can make be very significant somehow in my mind, and I can choose those over God's story in my daily life, right? I was joking with Roger one day. I mean, he can ask me to go play golf with him, and for 3 or 4 days, I can be creating this story in my mind of how I'm going to hit this wonderful shot golfing. And somehow, I can focus on that more than I can focus on this, the real story, which is God's story, because somehow I think that is going to make me feel good if I can hit this shot or something. I don't know what it is. I mean, seriously, why do we do that? I mean, we can take the most insignificant thing and it can push away what really matters, right? It can take our place in the most amazing story, and it can push that into the background while we try to fit ourselves into some story we don't belong in. And there's really only two things that can happen, right? One is you can never really achieve your place in that story that you're trying to create. Or two, you do achieve it, and when you're done, you realize it was stupid. It was empty. And you don't feel fulfilled anyway. It was just temporary enjoyment. Right? And so when we live our life in the context of God's story, we have amazing value. And that's because He gave us amazing value. It's because He chose to give us an amazing place in the most amazing story ever. Paul, I think, had a pretty good grasp on this concept. And you look in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said this. He said, "For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, if you know anything about Paul, you know he was a pretty smart guy. I mean, he was really smart. He'd done a whole lot of schooling, and he was top of the class and everything. I mean, this was a guy who, you know, had all kinds of knowledge and things that he knew. But he says, "I have determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." Does that mean he can forget everything else? No. But that means he wants that to be the context for his life, right? He's choosing Christ and Him crucified, God's story, as the context that he's going to live his life in. And when we do that, it changes everything. The joy comes back. The joy comes because it's no longer dependent on your circumstances, right? It's no longer dependent on any kind of achievement, even. Because when God invites us into His story, the amazing part about it is He gives us everything we need to achieve our part of the story. All that power comes from Him. So it's no longer a performance-based thing, because when we accomplish it was just Him anyway. And if somehow we feel like we're not accomplishing it, we can rest assured that it's God's work and that He will be faithful to complete it. So it's not our responsibility anyway. And so when your joy is no longer dependent on any kind of performance, you can have joy no matter what's going on around you, right? When it's not dependent on results, because the results aren't ours, they're His, then the joy is no longer something that comes and goes. It's something that can stay and can last, regardless of what's going on. You know, He doesn't promise us, you know, comfort. That's not what He says. But He promises us an abundant life. And He promises us a fullness of joy. And those things can happen even in the worst situations if we keep the context right. If we don't let those situations become the context for how we're living, right? But we let God's story be the context. And so that's really what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. I thought coming into a new year, what could be more valuable than starting out with the right context? And I hope that gives you guys something to think about and something to build on as we go throughout the year. So...